Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, how precious it is. We're doing Exodus, which means the going out. And going out it is, out of what? Captivity, confusion, into the promised land. This is a type of how basically we stand right now. That's why most of these plagues that you're reading about that happened to the Egyptians are the vials God pours out in the great book of Revelation. In other words, one is an example for the other. So what goes around comes around. It's very easy to learn our Father's Word by looking at past history to know what tomorrow brings. Now, our Heavenly Father has hardened Pharaoh's heart many times here. Pharaoh didn't need really all that much help, I think. But anyway, God made it very clear in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 9, where he said, I can take the same piece of clay, and I can make a flower vase, or I can make a chamber pot out of the same material. When he was talking about having what he had done with Pharaoh. In other words, he's the potter. And when he uses someone, there's always a purpose. It was always prearranged. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And he let us know in the last lecture, the reason he's hardening Pharaoh's heart is not to make it hard on his own people. But the Egyptians are his people too. And he wants them to know that they should not be worshiping some fish god, some tree, some statue, something else, but they should be worshiping him, that he is God. He is Yahweh. And so it is. So we pick it up then today in chapter 8, verse 21, as he continues knocking on that door to get Pharaoh's attention to let the people go, to enter the promised land. So chapter 8, verse 21, a word of wisdom from our Father. Let's go with it. It reads, "Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy house, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are." You're going to have more flies than you can say grace over. Okay. 22, but a little different here. "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth," and in the midst of his own people. In other words, I hope you can draw from that. Many of you in these troubled times, and you let yourself get caught up into the excitement of the moment, and you don't realize God has his hand on you. He keeps the swarm away from those that are working for him. You don't have to worry about it. If you have the faith and the knowledge, God always takes care of his own. Verse 23, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." This word division is padah in the Hebrew tongue, and it means redemption. I'm going to redeem my people. I want you to absorb that, because he is our redeemer. He cares. Don't let yourself get caught up in the troubles of the world, get all anxious about it, when you're a child of God. It's such a waste, because padah, he is your Redeemer, and he has proved that over and over. Verse 24, to continue, "And the Lord did so." He always keeps his word. "And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted, laid waste, by reason of the swarms of flies." And I might add, What would make them really bad is all those stinking frogs they had piled up out there too. And so it is. Verse 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land." But unfortunately, what he says is my land. Do it in my land. He didn't want to let them go to their land. So he's still holding out. Got it? An enemy that you're dealing with can be very difficult. That's why when you're dealing with God, don't worry a whole lot about the enemy. Just observe him. Listen to him. God will sooner or later, he'll take care of business. You don't have to worry about it. As long as you're doing your part, now that's important. You have to do your part in faithing and understanding and doing his work. Verse, the next verse, please, 26. And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" In other words, the Egyptians worshipped cattle and rams and so forth. And if they, in their religion, in Pharaoh's land, that's the question, if we do this here, if we slaughter a ram or one of their cattle, a head of stock, and as much as they worship them and dedicate it to our God, they're going to be upset. They're going to consider that an abomination, which is very wisely stated. Verse 27, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us," or he has commanded us, and he had. The Lord wanted to, God is not opposed to a little covert action, okay? He said, get out there 3 days and then hoof it, you know, haul out of there. So our Father knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows he's dealing with Pharaoh. And so it is. Let's go with the next verse, please, 28. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness only. You shall not go very far. Entreat for me." Go to God and ask him to get rid of these flies. Get them off of our people. Verse 29, and Moses said, "Look here, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Don't let that happen again. Verse 30, and Moses did that. He went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. I'm going to put a word in for it. 31, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. Think about that. Could anyone argue that that was not a divine intervention? That they're swarmed to death and then boom, they're all gone? Verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. I mean, he's a hard case. But again, I hope you can learn from this that God has all the patience in the world to save the Gentile even. He's saving the house of Israel here and delivering them from the Egyptian. But he wants them to know that he's God also, so that perhaps, maybe, they could attain eternal life. It is just the way of our Father. All people, all souls were created by Almighty God. They are all his children. He does not care only for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He loves all of his children that will love him. And he respects them, treats them with dignity, and goes to these ends to see that they have an opportunity. When they've been worshiping cows and frogs and many other things, here they're seeing the finger of God. The very existence of these abnormal things, enclosing around them at the exact time and place that the prophecy said they would. That's a very difficult thing to argue with. But that is God helping out as what he can to see that his plan is complete. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. The word Hebrews, it's important that you know the meaning of it here. It comes from Ebor. And the being translated fully, it means those people that crossed the river. What river? The Euphrates. Okay. Verse 2. And if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, verse 3, Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and that's a pestilence upon them. And so it is. Verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. Verse 5. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Now, again, you worry about your stuff. Long as you use your head and common sense, what do you have God for? Somebody to kind of cry on your shoulder when you are down and out? Or do you know he takes care of his own? There won't be one head of the Israeli stock die. Pharaoh's going to lose every head of his cattle, and they worshiped them. Trust God. Verse 6, And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Do you think God doesn't take care of his own? And what do you worry about? You know, you either believe God or you don't. There's no such thing as, well, maybe he does. No, he does or he doesn't. It's up to you. If you think he doesn't, then don't ask him for any blessings because you're not going to get any. But if you trust him, and if you ask his leadership when you've done all you can do, he takes care of even the property of those that love him and those that serve him. Hey, that's just the way it is. That's why this example happened, so that you would know what you can depend on from our Father. Verse 7, And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. A hard case. But Father feels they need a little more shaken up here. Verse 8, And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. Why would God do this? Well, ashes is it means he's going to turn a bunch of things to ashes for dear Pharaoh. Okay, and this is the sign, it's going to come from heaven. Verse 9. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Israel. I mean, you're opening up here to a heap of hurt. You know, an old boil, just before it's ready to pop, is a painful, painful thing. And if they're all over your body, and you're one miserable mankind. And that's what God's going to do to them. Well, why is he doing that? He wants them to know that he's God. You can't lie to him. You can't con him. You can't play games with him. You have to trust him, love him, obey him, and be blessed by him. But you be as stubborn, and Pharaoh being this example set forth. But at the same time, our Father is doing it out of love for the Egyptian. He wants them to know there is a true God. Verse 10, and they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, right out in plain sight, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. That means they're already popping, right and left. They're a sick bunch of puppies, right? Big time. Verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So, they were laden pretty heavy and in a heap of hurt. Was any of this on the Israelites? Of course not. Why? Well, because God was redeeming them. It was not they that disbelieved God. And those that believe God are blessed. How about you? And where do you classify yourself in this? Do you truly believe? Or would you doubt all this? You see, there comes a time when the rubber meets the road. And in this going forth, we're about to enter the promised land in this generation of the fig tree. And it's imperative that you love the Father, that you listen to him. But if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to trust him and return his love. You might say, well, how could I be so sure? Well, it's human nature. And God is not only natural, he's supernatural. If you had a child, and all that child would do is burden you in every way you could be burdened. And I mean, cause you all the harm that harm could be caused. Would you be over anxious to bless that child? I don't think so. If you loved them, what would you do? You would get the rod and spare the child. That's what you would do, biblically speaking. So that's kind of what God is doing here in both ways. He's showing love, tough love. But at the same time, he's protecting those that believe upon him. So what point am I trying to make? That even in the very hardest of times, boils pouring out, God takes care of his own. Even when the times are rough and it looks like that bankruptcy is coming for everyone, God always takes care of his own that use common sense and believe upon him. That's an important lesson. I can kind of understand the Egyptians at that time maybe having a little trouble learning that, but I can't tolerate you not learning it because you know better. Verse 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now that's a hard old trip. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, what did he say? Did he say, let them go so they can all be free? That's not what he said. He said, let them go that they may serve me. Just a little bit of work hooked to this, okay? Verse 14, and I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. I want you to know that. No cattle, no trees, no stumps, no shady worship. I want you to know, I'm it. I am Yahweh. I am the creator of all these things. Verse 15, and now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. That's a tough old saying. Verse 16, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Don't ever forget that verse. That's a key to even what's happening here. I'm going to read it one more time for you. In the very deed of this cause have I raised thee up. Talk to Pharaoh. For to show in thee my power, and that my name, what name was that? Well, he told you back prior, I am that I am, Yahweh. My name may be declared throughout all the earth. And so it is. You see, this is a prelude to what the end is. That's why it's so very important that you absorb it, that you understand it. Because this is how it's going down. This, many people won't recognize it. It's happening right now, in part. So you have to be alert, and you have to observe. Verse 17, as yet exalteth thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. You keep playing the big cheese. 18, behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. You know, Father can create hailstones weighing 180 pounds. That's a talent, if he so chooses, which will destroy anything. Verse 19, send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. It's going to kill them. Now here, I want, do you see the compassion in that? Can you be fair a minute? That's our Father telling him there's a curse coming. I'm not happy. I'm going to bring a vial of wrath upon you, but here's how you beat it. In other words, if they believe God enough to take his orders and gather all the cattle in, they will escape this one. That's compassion from our Heavenly Father. I don't want you to read over that, and I want you to understand it, that every move he makes, there's a motive, there's a reason, and you always want to understand that. So here, he not only announces one, but he shows them how to be out of it, even the Egyptian. Verse 20, He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Now, can you analyze that a little bit? This word feared means revered. What did they revere? The word of the Lord. They were beginning to listen. Get rid of the boils, the flies, the frogs. We love you, Lord. See, it's working. Verse 21. Not all, but some. It's beginning to work. 21. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Do it. 23. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Now, was this a terrible thing to happen? It only happened to those that believed not the word of God. How are you doing? I'm going to say it again. It only happened to those that believed not the word of God. Do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? It's more important now than it was even back then, that you understand his word and believe it, because then you are protected. Verse 24. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it become a nation. I mean, that's from zero time. 25, and the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. Now, how could they have prevented that? All they had to do was believe the word of God and do what he said to get them out of the field. He said, everything out there is going to die. Well, that's a good way. I don't believe he's going to do it. Well, get out there and wait and see what happens to you. Okay? I don't know if I want to take time to believe the word of God. Hey, that's okay. Have a good trip. You know, see what happens to you very soon. Or you can have the love and protection of Almighty God by believing his word. Because as he writes in the great book of Mark, chapter 13, behold, I have foretold you all things. Have you read it? You know, man only fears the unknown. Once he knows how it's going to be, he's going to put a plan together in his mind, regardless of what size it is. He's going to figure some kind of plan of how to go through it, over it, under it, around it, or by it, or just ignore it. Okay. But as long as you have read and you know what's going to happen, guess what? There's no excuse to be deceived. You should be blessed. Verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, the children of Israel were, was there no hail. God takes care of his own. I'm going to tell you something. Just as it is said that the great huge hailstones will fall at the battle of Haman Gog, they're not going to fall on God's children, just as they weren't not here. That's what this is an example of. You don't have to worry about it. Well, why is God going to do that? Because the people that come against us from the north, God doesn't want them to know how strong our army is. He wants them to know how strong God is. God will destroy them. Then they won't have any problem figuring out God is God. That they should have believed the word. They should have followed the word. But then, you know, some people like to play church. That's a dangerous thing. Especially if it's a house that God's Word is not taught in chapter by chapter and verse by verse, because they never really, if God's Word isn't taught, know what God really thinks. How He loves His children, how He protects them. Excuse me, that's why it's so important that you know and understand. No, the children in Goshen had nothing to worry about because God protects His own. Let's go one more verse. Verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and he called for Moses and Aaron and he said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Oh, we finally converted him. Can you be had that easy? You know he's a liar. You know how many times he's changed his mind. And now he says, I have sinned. My people have sinned. You'd think you were having a regular old-time revival here. But you better remember who you're dealing with. Okay. 28. He continues, entreat the Lord, for it is enough. I've had it. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall say no longer. In other words, I might even be glad to get rid of you. Okay. Good riddance. Well, again, would you trust that? Well, we'll see, won't we, in the next lecture. And so it is that our Father is so good to us when you believe Him, follow Him, obey Him, as best you can. None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But He makes up for that. That's why He paid the price on the cross, because He loves you and knows you mess up every once in a while. So He paid that price so that you could be forgiven for it. But you do have to believe His Word. That's basically what this lesson was about today, this lecture. Believe in God. And you'll survive. And I'm not talking about surviving in the flesh. I'm talking about surviving the eternity. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are. Back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit Moves. Got a question? Share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We are not going to judge people because God is judge. He takes care of business. If you take care of your own business, you're doing pretty good. And that means a business that where you assist others when necessary and so forth. But don't judge people. You have the right for spiritual discernment. That's a gift from God. Do you know what spiritual discernment does for you? It lets you know whether you're listening to truth or a lie. You just know. Intuitively, you know if there's something wrong with something. And you stick with it. Principle is a blessed thing, and you must have principles and don't ever break them. All right, and those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. And again, I like to compliment China, who is growing faster in Christianity for this ministry than only this nation and Canada. China is next to students for Shepherd's Chapel, to let you know how important the truth is as it goes around the world. We thank our Father for that, and we love having you with us. Now, let's go to His throne, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have that number. You don't have to have an address when we go to His throne. Just talk to Him. He loves you, and He knows that if you will return that love, He's going to bless you. Believe His word. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Jack from Canada, how many different satellites can you be seen on or heard on? Also, what websites? Thank you. We have our own website, and there's a lot of websites have us on it, and it's not a lot of falsehoods on a lot of websites. But our own Shepherd's Chapel official website has quite considerable teaching, as well as a letter to the critics, which you should read if you study with the chapel. How many different satellites? We own one transponder on Galaxy 16. That's what we feed all the stations around the country on. And then we are on all the major satellites, and Dish, Direct, and but we have our own channel that I aforementioned on Galaxy 16, one of the best locations up in the atmosphere there path of satellites. We're in a good location. Thank you for asking. We have really been blessed. We started out on satellite, basically in the beginning, and it has been good for us. I tried radio before I tried satellite. I kind of fell flat on my face on radio. And of course, small stations, hard to get things out, but satellite, we boomed. It was God's blessings, and we thank Him for that. Angie from Mississippi, do any of your programs come on DVD? All of our programs come on DVD. Okay, there's when you order a tape list, then there's one that is a DVD tape list, and request that. Sheila from Illinois, where do our spirits go once we die? Are we with God, or are we in a holding bay? Well, you are to be absent from this body, as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, is to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, meaning instantly when the silver cord parts, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, being your soul, returns to the Father that gave it. You're in paradise, and you'll be on one side of it or the other. Those that overcome are on one side, those that don't are on the other. It upsets some Christians to say, you mean the sinners are going to be there? Well, who judges sinners? You don't. God does. So what do you think they're doing in paradise? They're there for judgment. That's just common sense, you know. Some people just need to get a life when they get so holier than thou that they can't see the simplicity in the way God works. Okay, this is Michael. Dear Pastor Arnold Murray, I'm 11 years old. I'm in the sixth grade. I'm going to try to preach to a group of at recess. I want to know if you have any tips. Well, just teach the truth. I think that's wonderful. You just hang in there and hang tough and stand by the word, all right? But do it gently. Unless somebody always be gentle in bringing forth the word of God, but also bear down on expression that needs to be expressed. Let me know how it went. That'd be great. Okay, Sam and Lily from Arkansas. Is the soul the same as the spirit? If not, where does the soul go when we die? I know the spirit goes to God. Well, your spirit is your intellect. In other words, God has a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You have a spirit. It's your spirit. It's your intellect. It's your thought process. And you can use that for good reasons or bad reasons. Hopefully, if people that share the truth, their spirit, their intellect is taking forth the word of God and is changing lives. Okay. But inasmuch as the spirit is only your intellect, that's your smarts. It's got to go somewhere. Something must contain it. I mean, you may think sometimes you're so smart, there's nothing could contain it. But it is containable. And what contains it is your soul. So your spirit is only a part of your soul because it is your soul that has that being of being free for that spirit to be good or evil. And therefore, that spirit returns to the Father for judgment at demise. Patty from Maryland. How did the fallen angels mate with women if the fallen angels had no reproductive male or female parts? Thank you. How do you know they didn't? Well, why would you make that statement? What did God say in Genesis 1:27? He said, "Let us create man in our image." That word image can even be phantom. I mean, to look exactly alike, a carbon copy. Now, did Adam have male parts? Well, of course he did. But then he was made in the same image he was in the angelic being. And angels' food, manna, kept our people alive in flesh bodies, though it was spiritual food, that is to say, the intake that keeps an angelic body living. The same thing works for this one. So, for you to say, and I'm not correcting, I'm just telling you, the absolute proof is that Adam, being made a perfect copy of what he was in the spiritual body, definitely had male organs, okay, and sired children. Teresa from Canada, can you explain in detail how to prove that the fig tree is a forbidden fruit? Also, when having communion, can I do this myself, and do I need to go to church? Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. First, the fig is not a forbidden fruit. Okay, it means things, bad things happened in the fig grove in the garden, but figs are not forbidden. Okay, it is what the bad figs and good figs are used symbolically of people. That's why Jesus said, "Learn the parable of the fig tree." And he didn't say, maybe you should. He said, learn it. And he meant it. So it's a good fruit unless you're in the bad basket. Okay, communion always, many have said we're going to have communion in the next broadcast regular that follows this one is going to be a fall meeting communion. In other words, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's time. And And communion will be given in a television broadcast, the next one that follows this on the next day, that is to say. And you can have at your own home, if you don't have, you have wine or grape juice, either one is fine. If you have a problem with wine, no problem. Grape juice. And unleavened bread, you can buy crackers that are unleavened at any grocery store, or you can even buy leavened bread, shoe bread, at most any Bible bookstore. But those are the ingredients, and the blessed event takes place, and we invite you in the next course to partake of it with us. You might say, well, who is qualified? There's only one qualification. You have to believe Christ was qualified to pay the price. And you have to believe that, or you wouldn't even be a Christian. So you are qualified. David from Texas, what are we to do about the people who call the Lord evil and blame him for all the bad stuff that happens in their life? What do you want to do about them? I don't have that much time for them. You know, if they want to be miserable, let them be miserable. Okay. Always plant one seed. Only God can make that seed grow. You cannot. If it does grow, they'll come back to you with a question, and then from there you can go deeper. But some people, I truly believe that the third of the children that followed Satan at the overthrow in the first earth age, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, they're last and they're living now. That's why character has, in many places, has just deteriorated. It's bad. But then that's who they are. So you're not going to change too many of them. Always plant a seed so that they have an opportunity. And once, if you have the truth and you try to share it, then their blood is off your hands. Okay. Sherry from Florida. Do the two prophets come first, or does the evil one? If the prophets come, how will we know? Well, you can read Revelation chapter 11, and it makes it pretty clear what they will be doing, the two witnesses. And they do come first, because they have 1,260 solar days, where Satan only has 42 moons. 42 moons is a few days, because a moon is only 28 point something days. That falls short of the solar calendar, meaning the two witnesses will be here longer than Satan, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Billy from Nevada, where is the scripture that explains Jesus going to hell after the crucifixion and saving all those people? He went to the other side of paradise, okay? Because there is no hell yet. Anytime the word hell is translated in the Bible, it comes from Sheol, which is Hebrew for grave, sepulchre, or hell, Gehenna, which is just a garbage pit outside of Jerusalem that burns and smolders night and day. But the lake of fire will be at the very end after 20, and so it is. But the scripture where you will find it is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. But read on into chapter 4, and you'll see that he freed a bunch of them. They made it right from one side of paradise to the other. That's God being fair and giving all of his children an equal opportunity, even if they died before Christ paid the price on the cross. Brian from South Carolina, what is the unpardonable sin? Please document with scripture. Well, that's easy. The unpardonable sin is for one of God's elect. Only they can commit it. God's elect, no. The Antichrist comes first. They know that they are supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them against the false one. And it states in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, if you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan and you refuse the Holy Spirit, you can refuse what Christ taught on earth and maybe get by. But if you're one of God's elect and if you refuse Christ the ability to speak through you, this is as it was written in Mark 13, where it said you're going to be delivered up. Do not premeditate what you'll say, because God himself will be speaking through you, so that the truth can go to the world. So, but if one of God's elect refuse the Holy Spirit, that is the unpardonable sin. I would be one of the most disappointed people in the world if even one of God's elect refused the Holy Spirit. I know them pretty well, and they would much rather talk than keep quiet, okay? So if they have any one danger, it'll be from talking too much instead of letting God do the talking. But they're not going to commit the unpardonable sin. I just cannot see it in my heart. Okay, Anna from Arkansas. Thank you all. You're so welcome. Question. I love the Lord with all my heart, but there is something that I do occasionally that I feel like displeases the Lord, and I have asked his forgiveness. But then when I think I'm strong and won't do it again, I do it, and I want to know, will the Lord leave me because of this? Thank you. Now, how many times did Jesus say to forgive a person if they sin? In one day, 490 times. Now, to me, from what I'm reading from your program, your letter, is this seldom happens. So, if it's that big of a problem, how about doing this for me? Instead of repenting and telling him you're sorry, ask him to help you. Say, give me the way for this not to happen again. And see if what he won't let you down. He knows you're trying. So God will never leave you. People can leave God, but God will never leave a person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, a person does it on their own prerogative. They drift so far away, they leave God. But that's their fault. God didn't leave them. They left him. Ray from, I guess that's Ontario. Those babies and small children who experience the great apostasy, what condition are they in? Innocent? They're in good shape, no problem. God is totally fair. Whoever fits in that slot, you mentioned the time apostasy, that's the falling away. If it is a young child, and there will be, then a young child is still innocent. There and many of them, don't underestimate our children. You heard the little gentleman a while ago that's in the sixth grade. He's going to hold a class. He's going to preach right out at the recess time coming up. And that takes a lot of courage, especially today when usually they won't allow that at public schools. But I think he'll have a way of God giving him a gift to get by with it. And from Virginia, how will we be delivered up before Satan? Well, always trust the Bible. What does it say? Mark 13, it says, mother will betray daughter up to death. That's Satan. One of Satan's names is death. Okay. Father will betray sons up to death, and so forth. Well, what does it mean? It means they think he's Jesus, and they think you're a nutcase. They think the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And they run to him and say, my boy's a good old boy. He really reads the Bible a lot until I think it's gone to his head. He's just almost a crackpot. And he loves the word so much. But he thinks you're the Antichrist. Can you believe that? When here, Jesus, please have mercy on him. Do you know what he'll say? Well, trot him on in here. Let's convert him. Your own kin folks that won't listen now serve a big purpose. They turn in God's elect. Because a lot of times they think that the elect, because they won't accept. See, what are they taught today? You don't have to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. You're going to just rapture right out of here, though the word rapture is not even in the Bible now, understand. And the first one that comes along is taking us. Do you know who that first one is? It's Antichrist. It's Satan. He's beautiful. And many are unfortunately going to follow him. And hey, I am out of time. There is a beautiful one that loves you. It's our Heavenly Father, and he loves you for studying his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you know his emotions and his love for you. It makes his day, because it's a letter he's written to you for you to gain by, learn by, and be blessed by. So return that love and let him know that you appreciate it. Once you do that, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on...